never rests.
Beauty colors in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Welcome in on your Sunday evening. It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Roos. He's Rusty Mansell. We're on Dogs HQ. You know how to find us. We're easy. We're not hard to find. Hey, but if you're looking for a new bank and trying to find them, get over to American Pride Bank, man. Good friends of ours and great supporters of Dogs HQ. It's a bank for small business owners who want local, fast, flexible solutions. So whether you've got a loan that you need to expand, maybe you're looking for everyday banking, they've got you covered. You're always talking to a decision maker when you're working with American Pride Bank. You can visit them in Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank. They're your community bank and your trusted partner. Member FDIC, equal opportunity lender, American Pride Bank. Great supporters and great friends. The Georgia Show is presented by American Pride Bank this evening. Rusty, I wish we could start this off with some better news.
We can't.
Two Georgia players suspended indefinitely from the team. Marquez Easley, offensive lineman, and Nitro Tuggle, wide receiver. Both of them driving-related issues. Both arrested on misdemeanor charges as related to driving. For Nitro Tuggle, it is a suspension of, reckless driving and speeding over the maximum limit. And then Marquez Easley gets arrested for a misdemeanor count of reckless conduct. Both suspended from the Georgia team indefinitely. Rusty, look, no beating around the bush on this. Georgia has had its fair share of very public problems when it comes to driving-related incidents. And the Dogs are cracking down on this one, man. Two guys that were expected to see playing time this year. Nitro Tuggle certainly, I think, was considered to be heavily in the mix for some solid playing time this year. Easily one of those guys in the two deep, certainly for the offensive line, you felt. Unclear future for both of those guys moving forward. A super unfortunate situation, and the Dogs back in the headlines for all the wrong reasons once again. I know that you put some notes up on the board at Dogs HQ regarding this situation and how the Dogs are handling it. Don't want to get into too much inside baseball. You can come over to the message board for that. But I am curious if you can hit some of the highlights. What's Georgia doing to curb this, and what do you know about these situations?
I mean, it is – I don't know what else to say. Now, I will say when you go to Dogs HQ, I go kind of in detail on what – I spent 2 days. I was like – just out of my curiosity, I want to know what's going on, what kind of meetings. And there's some pretty in detailed stuff over there on the message board. And we left that up. And I think people kind of understood how deep Georgia, it hadn't been like a month. Like, they've been in this message to these players for a long time. But I will say this on here and without getting into too much, because I don't know the specifics of players' contracts and stuff like that, but these rev share type deals now that's about to take place, or the NIL type deals, whatever, you get paid now, and part of your payment is to not have situations like this. And when you have something pop up like this, it is, and what I was told, a very significant fine. Someone told me some of these kids are losing a month's salary. You know, if you take, what would you say, Jake? Some of these kids, most of them make $10,000 a month minimum.
That's exactly the number I have.
Yeah, $10,000 for a ticket. Well, I'm 51 and if I got a $10,000 ticket, man, I would be in, I'd probably be in therapy right now. You know what I mean? So, you would hope, and it's a bigger picture, because I say this every time. There were two people at the University of Georgia dead because of speeding and bad decisions and things like that. So we don't have to preach to the choir on that. But I can tell you that Georgia has been extremely proactive in meetings. And I don't know what's going to happen with these two young men long term, but I've never seen Georgia issue a statement that quick. They issued the statement on Easley before it was ever even public. You know what I mean? Everybody's like, what did Easley do? You know, that message was sent, I think, my opinion, that message was sent from the head guy saying that it's done. We're not doing this again. So I have no idea, you know, what those young men, if they'll be, if they're ever going to play University of Georgia, if they're even still at the University of Georgia. I know I had a bunch of people that were there this weekend for the coaches clinic. Those two young men were not around the program. They were not in the building. So don't know. And you hate for young people to make decisions like this over and over and over. And I think if you're not a subscriber, just go read some of the stuff. I got feedback from other schools I thought was interesting, because I ask other schools, you know, what's going on at your school? So there were some interesting things there. And, you know, that's typically not in my, say, cup of tea. But I felt like with this going on, that's something that I want to check on. And I brought that information over, on Dogs HQ yesterday afternoon. And a lot of discussion on it, but I'm confident in what I put out, what Georgia is doing, what they have done, and what I heard about things like this from other schools.
Look, I think we can both admit, and I will say this part of your notes, if you don't mind, that this is not an endemic problem to Georgia. This is not, everybody is dealing with these issues across the board. You know, you're seeing an uptick in these things, money, fast cars, prestige, fame. I mean, these guys have it all, and you get it at 18, and that's a hard thing to deal with. Now, Georgia's under the microscope, and rightfully so, perhaps. Correct. For the issues that it has suffered in the past as it relates to this. But, you know, there are no easy answers here, Rusty. I mean, like you said, you're talking about significant fines. You're talking about, several agencies getting involved to, you know, preach to these kids and here's how to do this and here's what not to do. This is something that I think unfortunately, we're going to continue to see this sport struggle with, and it won't just be Georgia. I think that, this will be something that you see at other places, but Georgia's under the microscope. And as I said, rightfully so, based on what's happened in the program, but,
there were two NFL players, I guess, on our text chain.
Yeah.
Two NFL players were racing Lamborghinis tonight in Miami, right. So.
I mean, and you look at Nitro Tuggle's situation, guy just gets his license, right? He's out there in a super fast car, and then this is kind of the first thing that happens. Marquez Easley, a very dumb decision on his part. Sounds like he was out there kind of laying drag and just kind of showing off. I don't know even how you get six people in the Challenger or the Charger. That sounds, someone on the board said that sounds like the definition of hell in and of itself. But, I mean, it is one of those things that it's an unfortunate side effect of the whole NIL era, in my opinion, Rusty. And everybody jokes, go back to scooters, but I mean, I can see the validity of that comment. Mm. You know, let's take this away from the legal angle for a second. And you mentioned you don't know what the future holds for these guys, but just speaking as of now and assuming that they are part of this team and moving forward, what was the long-term prospects for these guys going into this year? I mean, as I said, I thought Nitro Tuggle was a guy who was in a position to make a move. You felt like that even last year to some degree. Didn't quite break through in the way everybody had hoped, but you kept waiting on that. And Easley was one of those guys that come out of high school. I really love this film, and I know Georgia did as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of openings. I think Nitro Tuggle probably would have or does have. I don't know. We don't know if he's going to be a part of this program or not. You know, he's the guy that probably had the best opportunity to get to the field this year, and he kind of cracked the lineup a little bit there late. And then, you know, what did he go on the portal for a day or is that intentions of going in the portal, those types of things? So, you know, just a young man that I felt like, talking to everybody, this is a young man that, just like Rusty Mansell was when he was 18, was kind of immature and was growing up. And then you have a situation like this, and you, like you said, just had his license. And then you get a vehicle like that, and that's how things end up. So don't really know, what's going to happen with those two guys. But, you know, if you look at it athletically, football-wise, probably Nitro Tuggle would have been the guy that could have helped Georgia with some minutes this year. But they brought in a lot at wide receiver. And, from what I heard, the last 2 weeks, and, when you got 900 high school coaches in town, I think it was 20. They had coaches from 24 states there and two from Canada. So a lot of eyes, a lot of people. Common theme, wide receivers are pretty damn good. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll get into that spring practice, Rusty, for sure, later in the show. You know, again, I don't mean to belabor the point about this, but I don't know. Like I said, I mean, based on the stuff that you posted and based on what you've heard from other people, what do you do? I mean, how do you do this? Is there a way to curb this? The people that you've spoken with, does there seem to be a fix?
I don't think anybody has an answer. And it goes back to the human side of it too now. You know, you're talking about an 18, 19-year-old kid. And what if a young man gets a speeding ticket that's one of your, you know, let's just take, he's done. But Nick Chubb was never a problem, ever, ever. Like, didn't miss class. What if Nick Chubb would have got a speeding ticket and you have the policy of next guy gets one, you're out of here. You know what I mean? So it's just different. And you just, I don't really know how, it's all new. You know what I mean? It's all new to everybody that these young men are you know, 18, 19 years old with a lot of money. And when I was 18, 19 years old, I probably would have wanted to buy something loud and fast too. So you just got to, you know, I don't know, but I do know, and I said this on the board, Georgia can't use this because they've got enough and they're dealing, but this is going on around the country, and don't think it's not. I can assure you, I've talked to other places. This is going on, you know what I mean? And not everywhere. And there's might be different rules in different states with speeding and those types of things, but fast cars and young men, and particularly, you know, souped up cars, there's some speeding going on around the country. And I mean, I'm not really worried about athletically. I'm worried about these young people, and, you know, we're all out on the roads, and, you know, you just hope there's not another tragedy somewhere along the line where, you know, something ends up like it did in Athens in January a couple of years ago. And that's what Georgia's answering for, continue. And I don't know. I would love to hear, but it's just right now they're just continue to make mistakes, and they are being penalized and doing a lot of stuff, man.
Hunter Lacey says, I refuse to believe this isn't going on at other schools. It just gets swept under the rug. It's definitely happening at other schools. There's no,
I don't know the term swept under the rugs. Right.
No, I just,
but I'm confident that it is going on in other places. Yeah. I'm very confident it's going on other places. Yes.
Yeah. You know, look, ACCPD arrests for, you know, they're doing their job, man. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And look, I mean, you say whatever you want about that situation, but the fact of the matter is, as Eddie from Ackworth rightfully says, differences, it makes headlines nationally because of the tragedy. Nobody cares about a speeding ticket in Baylor. And that's really, I mean, that's ultimately what it is, man. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a question posed up here, Rusty, and you know, I don't think we have to give definitive answers. Eddie from Ackworth says, if this happens again, does Kirby Smart kick somebody off the team? He almost has no choice, right? I mean, to me, and I've said this from the jump of this, that feels so extreme for the type of violation. We're talking about a crime that is committed more frequently than any crime in the United States of America, and almost certainly 95% of the people who are listening to this show right now have participated in themselves. Yep. And I understand that there are expectations around this program that have to be adhered to. I think an indefinite suspension and figuring out a path forward makes sense at the moment for these two guys, certainly. But to me, that seems like a bit of a jump to go from this to that, to equate it to something the level of perhaps a domestic violence situation or something of that nature. Those to me feel like, boom, you're out, you're done. I get the optics of it, but that feels a little bit jumping the shark to me personally.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the next guy gets a speeding ticket out of here. I think it could be, you know, I don't think we've seen a police report from Nitro yet, have we?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, and, you know, and who knows how fast he was going, you know. We had somebody post on the board the other day, and I don't know. I don't know the optics of all that. So, you know, it might be a case-by-case deal. I can tell you from the start, from the very top, to Jerry Moorhead, to Josh Brooks, to Kirby Smart, there's nothing of a bigger, I would say, off-season focus and those types of things. And you have something like this happen again. So we'll see what happens, you know, down the line with these guys. But I'll tell you this, I think that was a message sent by Kirby Smart. I think that was a message sent by the athletic department, and I think that was a message sent, you know, for them to issue a statement before anything ever even came out about Easley. They issued a statement on him, so everybody's like, wait a minute, what? Was he with Nitro Tuggle? Then you find out.
What got me was, it was, I was like, whoa, what happened with Marquez Easley?
Yeah, so you don't really know, you know, the scenario of that. So I think it'll be interesting next time Kirby Smart is in front of the media, what he says. We'll see, but, you know, it's disappointing, and I know that I can't even imagine those guys and team leaders. Just think about some guys that are team leaders. Sure. You know what I mean? Like, you know those guys. I feel confident in saying that C.J. Allen is one of those guys that's a team leader. And can you imagine how many times he's talked to people and, you know, you got a teammate. That's your guy, and they get, you know, get in trouble. So, you know, you don't want to write these kids off, but I think it's a case by case. And this is not the time to be chancing it, man. This is not the time to think with Kirby Smart, like, hey, I don't want to be the guy to put him in a difficult situation because, you know, and Nick Saban said it years ago, you know, he was going to write a kid off and you don't know his background. He's a single mom and the kid, you know, they stuck by the guy. And the guy winds up playing like 9 years in the NFL and he's made $100 million and he changed everybody in his life, you know, everybody around his entire family, never got in trouble ever again. So it's easier to sit here on the outside and say, but I will say this, that Georgia has got to stop. I don't have the answer. I do know they are trying every possible thing they can. And the best possible answer is don't let it happen again, man. You just don't want those headlines for Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hunter Lacy with a good point, and I think a valid one. I think we brought in enough guys to cover up losing Nitro. To me, that's kind of one of the big pieces of this is, you know, you get yourself suspended indefinitely during spring practice. You're opening a window that you may not be able to recover from in terms of the depth chart. Certainly with what they brought in there. So just a bad deal. You hate to see it, but Dogs are doing a lot, it sounds like, in-house to kind of curb these things. But speaking of good deals, we're going to switch it up and shout out our partners over at sunheist.com. You can get over there, use promo code DOGSHQ20 for 20% off your purchase. Look, if you're looking for a way to get out here, ditch cheap shades, upgrade your game day and every day, this is the place to go. Sunheist.com. You can get out there, any adventure, tailgating, climbing, riding around, just enjoying this beautiful spring weather. What an incredible week it's been for that. Sunheist eyewear, changing the game. High quality, durable sunglasses built for real life at prices that won't break the bank. They're here to stay with quality you can trust. They're built for adventure. And there's a big Georgia connection here. They're proud of the community they're in. These are folks that Jake Rowe knows well up there in Jefferson. They're committed to giving back. They partnered with One Tree Planted to support reforestation efforts. DogsHQ20 at sunheist.com, 20% off your order. And get over there. Check it out, man. They've got some great styles. Definitely want to make sure that we get a quick peek at some of what they got going on. I could definitely see Rusty Mansell out here sporting the aviators, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it makes me want to play Top Gun right now, like both of them. Like,
man, you throw these cottonwoods on Rusty Mansell.
Oh, dude.
Give me a sudden, classified.
Let me tell you something. Give me a bomber jacket and those right there, it'd be a wrap, man. It would be a wrap.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, guys, get over to Sunheist. Great supporters, great friends, great product over there. Yep. A Dogs HQ20. Your chance for 20% off sunheist.com. Also, speaking of another friend of ours, our friends at myperfectfranchise.net. Look, Andy Ludicky and the guys over there do such a great job. We talk about them all the time, but that's because we believe in what they do. We believe in what they have to offer. Are you a displaced corporate executive who wants to put your career in your own hands? Well, you can diversify with myperfectfranchise.net. Andy Ludicky and the team over there, huge college sports fans. They're franchise veterans. They've owned franchises. They've owned businesses. They take all that knowledge, all that expertise, and they help other people find their path forward, their American dream, and their life in their own hands. Through a thorough consultation and evaluation process, they can help you with all of this. His services, free to you. What do you got to lose? Your perfect franchise at myperfectfranchise.net. That's myperfectfranchise.net. Rusty,
I guess we got breaking news, and I don't want to sit here and hijack. I don't want to hijack the show. Who knows? My phone blew up. So Jared Curtis, number one quarterback in America for the class 2026. Obviously, big battle, Georgia, Oregon. He puts on his Instagram, news coming in 5 hours. So that would put it right at midnight.
That's what I thought when I saw that time. I wasn't going to bring that up on the show because who knows? Listen, Jared Curtis, for all we know, could be dropping on top six. He could take back the two. That's just the world we're in right now. We might get a Jared Curtis top steal. We might get a Jared. Who knows, man? Listen, in NIL era, you can't write anything off. Stroke of midnight, though, I guess something to watch. Be interesting to see what the nation's number one quarterback has on tap. Georgia would absolutely love to reel that guy in. Mm-hmm. He's coming off of visits to Georgia and Oregon. Says those are the two finalists in this thing. That's going to be one to watch throughout, Rusty, until he makes this decision, man. It's pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody wants a piece. There's no doubt about it. Hunter Lacy says he's higher on Bo Bentley, though. He was Bo Bentley just recently in town, which we will get to in some spring practice updates. But first, I do want to talk about Georgia basketball real quick. March Madness is going on. What a great – God. If you've watched this show, if you followed anything I've ever done, that I do not care about basketball. I don't watch basketball. It's not my thing. But by God, I watch March Madness when it's on. It is fun, man. It is, and this year has been no shortage. I mean, how about Amir Khan over there at McNeese State? Dude. Now he's transferring. We got student managers transferring, Rusty. That's what's going on. That's the world we're living in right
now. So I have been in, I've been doing this. So I have a Twitter, was it X, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah.
All I did was repost a video of him walking out Thursday, in all my years, that's the most views I ever got on a tweet. 3.3 million views that kid got me. Hey, thank you, man. I'd give you a dog's HQ NIL if I could.
Absolutely.
I got 3 million views on the kid just walking out, and that's what it's about, man. Viral moments like that. But I like it. Cinema, I love watching the March Madness.
The cinema of Rick Pitino versus John Calipari battling it out. Just classic old school tight game, man. That was so great. But Thursday, things didn't work out so well for the Hoop Dogs. Gonzaga with an absolutely convincing, crushing, just beat him over the head with a stick right out of the gate. There were times this season where a lot of people, I think we've talked about it many times on the show. Everybody questioned if this team would even make the dance. Okay. So it's been a decade and they did, and they broke through. And so that's part of the glass ceiling cracked, but there's more to go, and it has to be more than this. Certainly not the performance you want to put out there. Look, Gonzaga is, I worried about that kind of going in from the perspective of this is an experienced team. This is a team that knows how to win in March. This is a team that understands how this thing functions in a deeper way. Georgia, it's been 10 years. Mike White wasn't even around. Most of these guys were, you know, in third grade when the last time Georgia did this. So the Dogs with a quick exit against the Zags, and Zags move on. Georgia kind of left looking toward next year, probably be some losses to some degree. We're not exactly sure what those will be yet. Some transfer portal talk already swirling. I don't know, Rusty, you had a chance to watch the game on Thursday. What did you think about how things ended for the Dogs?
Well, I kind of thought some of our board, our subscribers on Dogs HQ, their favorite saying is that's the most Georgia thing ever. Georgia makes the NCAA tournament, they fight their ass off to get in it. They finish hot, and you have to win these battles, and you have to beat freaking Florida basically to help so get in. And they get into a quad with Gonzaga and Houston. You know what I mean? And Gonzaga in no way should have been an 8 seed. They got pissed off and took it out on Georgia. Was Georgia a better team than them? No. But, I mean, they got a hell of a draw. And if they would have had some miracle beat them, they run into Houston, who might be wind up being the best team in America. So, you know, it's just about guard play. It's just about – I don't know that I've ever seen – and I don't think the kid was being – I don't think the kid was rubbing it in Georgia's face. But after the game, he goes, look, you could see it in George's eyes. Those guys were nervous. They looked real nervous. And you're talking about a team, I think Gonzaga's been there 10 times in a row to the Sweet 16 or 8 times, something great. 9 times, I think, to the Sweet 16 in a row. So that this is not their first dance, literally, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction. You don't like to end on a performance like that because you're going to have to sit on that the entire offseason. But here's the reality. The portal opens tomorrow for basketball, and whatever they do in the next 10 days is going to make or break next year, and that's the reality. I mean, it is not – you're not going to sit there and build. And they've got – they might have 7 new players. Asa Newell certainly probably will wind up going to the NBA draft. And, you know, you Silas Demery and those guys and, you know, Blue Kane and all these key guys back, R.J. Godfrey, you know, can they put 2 or 3 key pieces in? The one thing I know is about guard play, man. And I wonder what they do there. And another big man. It's hard to replace an Asa Newell. But I'll tell you this. You look at Gonzaga, who had 4 kids. I think they were 22 or 23 years old starting. And you look at these teams, and it's about experience like that. And can Georgia go out and get some guys that's been around for a while to add to this young core? Because they'll have 3 or 4 if they keep those key sophomores. If they have 3 or 4 of those guys, you know, it'll be big. But it was overall, I think if you told everybody, hey, we're going to beat Kentucky, we're going to beat Florida, we're going to beat St. John's, and we're going to make the tournament, you'd sign me up. Sign me up for whatever happens in between. I'll take that. And that's what happened for Georgia this year. And we'll see where it goes. But I'll tell you this, Joe Tipton is our guy for On3 with basketball portal stuff. And Georgia's going to be involved for sure. And we'll see what they add.
Yeah, he dropped an interesting name. You can go check that one out regarding the Dogs, a connection with a transfer that Mike White recruited pretty hard in Florida and knows pretty well. Heck of a player, too. So interesting to see if they're able to pull that off. Eddie, with a great point, says basketball was similar to the football team. There were issues, and they reared their ugly heads at the wrong times. Notre Dame and Gonzaga. And, yeah, can't agree more, Eddie. Great stuff, man. Yeah, just a tough way to end it, but like I said, a step in the right direction. You got to feel better about the team than you have in 10 years. That's for sure. I mean, there's no doubt. All right, Rusty. Look, let's turn the clock back to football. Spring practice updates. It's all still going on. Obviously, like we said, the big news was all the trouble this week, but. Dogs are still out there getting after it, man. We got some scrimmage stuff coming up. That's on the horizon. Dylan Brooks wants to know if I'm going to be videoing the spring game from the bushes. Probably not. I retired from bush recording back in the day, but I appreciate you asking there, Dylan. What are we hearing, I guess, Rusty, coming out of spring practice right now? I mean, what's the latest in terms of, you know, we can't give it all away because we'll do that over at Dogs HQ, but any highlights for the folks, any names that are catching your eye? And like you said, hey, look, coaching clinic was out there. A lot of people had a lot of eyes on the Dogs this week.
Let me say this, because I asked the question on a radio interview, and some way or another, this thing has got twisted 74 million different ways. I asked Kirby Smart on a radio station, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. We do 3 or 4 interviews a year he does with that particular station. I was on that day. You can go back and listen to it, the entire interview. We did a couple of Fridays ago. And he talks really good about some guys. I asked him particularly what he has seen out of Ryan Pugliese. I said, Coach, you've had a lot of questions about Gunnar Stockton. Everybody asked you questions. Let me ask you about Ryan Pugliese, the young man that's in your program, and what have you seen out of him that you like? And, you know, he really, throw off the bat, he thought his kid's a competitor. The quote that I thought that was money, I thought that Georgia fans were going to eat up, was he said he never flinched. And he goes, you know, we had another kid that we were recruiting really hard. That was Dylan Rayl. Everybody knows who he goes. He goes, it never worried him. He never thought twice. He committed to us, and he stuck there. He stayed with his commitment. And I thought, man, that people are going to really like to hear this. Well, he comes back and he says, look, he's got a long way to go. He's young. He's still trying to learn offense. And people took that as, oh, God, he, you know, this guy can't play. I mean, it got twisted, all kind of stuff. Let me say this about Ryan Pugliese. Gunnar Stockton is in his fourth spring practice at the University of Georgia. Hell yes, Gunnar Stockton should be ahead of everybody. He's in his fourth spring practice. Gunnar Stockton's ran so many reps. Gunnar Stockton's played against Notre Dame. He had to come in out of the bullpen basically against Texas and deliver that game. And so, you know, I think people have pitted this thing as a make or break battle. And it's not. Like, this is Ryan Pugliese, I think, Jake, had two and a half practices last year when he got hurt in the spring, and then he was out. So this is the first spring practice kid's ever had.
And mind you, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you'll correct me if I'm wrong on this, I know, they're not playing 11-man football in the league that he was coming out of. I'm pretty sure they were.
No. He was playing 11 man.
Oh, yeah, it was 11. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Josh Allen was playing 8 man. No, he's playing the league. He was in. Now I asked Chad Simmons because Avon Farms. Yeah, they play two teams a year. This like the all stars of Northeast up in that area, and that are really good. Yes.
Yeah.
So he played a couple of games where he played some real, and they were a really good team too. So no, don't sell him short like that. Now,
I knew there was somebody that did that.
He played some big ball. And the problem was they played on Saturday, so he never got to come to a game. Right. You know, never got to come. But somewhere along the line, people have just like, this is make or break for this. Not like they love this kid. I'm telling you right now, they love this kid in Athens. And he, you know, he's wired different. He's got a freaking arm. They say he works his ass off. He's in the film room all the time, but he's young. You know what I mean? Like this kid's young. This kid has so much ceiling left in him. And I think people are dying to have a battle, a quarterback battle. Of course, they're going to get pushed. And of course, Kirby Smart's going to push this thing and try to get, but like somewhere along the line, this thing got twisted up. Like, you know, this thing is neck and neck every day. It's not right now. This is Gunnar Stockton's team. It should be Gunnar Stockton's team, you know, and just like he's played himself into this position, you can play yourself out of it. If things don't, it is what it is. But I just want to mention that because, you know, the last week or so, like last week, somebody texted me like, man, that's disappointing to hear about Ryan. I'm like, what'd you hear? He's like, well, Kirby says he's got a long way. Hell yeah, he's got a long way to go. He's a freshman, basically. But don't think that for 1 minute, man, go back and listen to the whole interview. I mean, you listen to Kirby talk about some of the things he does and how he's wired and those types of things. So, yeah, that's kind of got twisted up, man. I really want to comment on that. But listen, they love this kid. They freaking love this guy. And he's got a chance. He got a chance to be really special at Georgia. And I look forward to it. But, you know, he's going to compete for this job. And I'm certainly not saying he's going to lay down and just let Gunnar walk off with it. But I think people – you know, we went through the year of Justin Fields versus Jake Fromm where we had to report every single practice who was 3 for 11 and who was 2 for 9. You know what I mean? It's not like that right now. This is two totally different kind of quarterbacks at the situation they're in. And just to remind you, the Gunnar Stockton's in his fourth spring practice and Ryan Pugliese is basically in his first. So just kind of take that with a grain of salt right now and let this thing play out a little bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man, absolutely. You mentioned earlier the wide receivers, and that was one of the notes we got over on the board at Dogs HQ. A lot of love for Noah Thomas, Colby Young, also Zach Branch. Tony Starks down here says Sakobi White taking that wide receiver, that slot receiver job over Zachariah Branch. People are sleeping on him. The note we got the other day was that Zachariah Branch was a pretty explosive little cat out there.
That's another, Tony, love you. Thank you. You're always engaging. But that's another one where you say Zachariah Branch is a very experienced guy that's played a lot of football. Sakobi White still into his learning curve and all that. I love Sakobi White. I think Sakobi White is one of the best kids I've ever covered. And I think he's going to be a very, very good football player at Georgia. I stand by. He is going to help Georgia win a lot of freaking football games. But don't put that on him right now. He's not Zachariah Branch. And they brought him in to do what he can do with his skill set. And Zachariah Branch is a freaking dude. I'm telling you, he's ready to go right now. And don't sit here and write off Sakobi White because this kid's always had that chip on his shoulder. And I'll tell you this, I follow him on social media. And, you know, not just giving him special call out, but I'll tell you, that young man, every Saturday, and so when he's not in Athens, when he's not at football practice, he's in Bartow County. He's at church. He's at whatever he can do community service wise. I saw what he did on his spring break, and he spent a week basically with his church doing some stuff. So kid's wired right. He's a freaking competitor, and he's going to be a good football player. But don't put that on him quite yet that he's going to step in front of Branch, because Branch is ready to roll for Georgia. Branch won't be in Athens long, so enjoy this season you see with him, in my opinion.
Quite frankly, I think, Tony brings those two guys up together. I think Zachariah Branch is a perfect guy for Sakovi White to learn next to.
Oh, God, yeah.
And just to model himself after. Yeah. And say, hey, look, this is the way. I mean, because Zach Branch, not really one of those guys you've ever heard a cross word about. He's not, it's always been just the up and up. So, from a skill set standpoint, man, yeah, go be Zach Branch and Sakovi. That would be the best Sakovi White you can be, but sprinkle in a little of that Zach Branch explosiveness in there. These wide receivers really sound like they're kind of catching eyes. And then the other note that really caught my attention from those notes from the coaching clinic was the reference to Elias Williams. And he said, look, this guy's raw. You can tell it, but he's going to be a problem sooner rather than later. And I think we probably all expected that out of Elias. I he said, this is a freak of a human being. And I think at various times you've said he's one of the biggest freaks you've ever covered. So
Elias Williams has put more kids into soccer and soccer signups. Like you walk out there and you go
soccer like David Beckham, man.
You walk out there and you go, you know what, Junior? Let's go try soccer for a little while. I don't know if you want to be lined up out there at corner. Elias Williams, I put my name on it. I put my name on a couple of tweets, and we'll see if I'm right. But I'll tell you this. Do not, for 1 ounce, write off Ethan Barbour.
I know.
I don't think he would get mad at me for saying this, but I had some texts last week with Milton head coach Ben Reeves, someone I'm close with. And – he was in practice this week, and I talked to him a little bit, and I said, what do you think about Ethan? He goes, Rusty, that's not surprising me what he's doing. He goes, he is the toughest, biggest competitor I've ever coached. And you're talking about Milton's got NFL dudes over there, and they just had all these kids, and Georgia just signed C.J. Wiley, who's another was doing good. But I don't think people are giving Ethan Barbour and I don't think you can get it yet because you hadn't seen it, but he's creating some buzz too. So Todd Hartley, man, Todd Hartley, it's good to be Todd Hartley right now. His room
I
is.
So he's earning that paycheck. I promise you that. Real quick one here from our man Eddie from Ackworth. He says, I'm just curious on your opinion on this one. Take out Elijah Griffin, as he seems to be a given. Who's the biggest impact freshman in the spring?
They hadn't had a scrimmage yet, so they'll have a scrimmage Saturday. It'll be a big scrimmage. I think Bo Walker, we mentioned him last week. I think Bo Walker's the guy's kind of – and you say that as a running back, that is a position to where what's toughest on running backs? Pass pro. In the spring, you don't do a lot of pass pro because you can't freaking touch the quarterback. So, you know what I mean? So, you take that part out of it and you say, look, is Bo Walker an athlete? And is he doing well? And I had more than one person text me this weekend talking about Bo Walker and how good he's done so far. So I've said it all along. That's a really good thing for Georgia. But Bo Walker is definitely, I think we talked about it last week, so I won't give the whole thing back. But him kind of in the transition of transferring schools, that move, he got ineligible. He had to go to Raven Gap late. Luckily, he was able to play some football there and kind of came in and a little chip on the shoulder, ready to roll. Kind of got written off because Georgia recruited some other guys. And then you go through the Osmani Chroma deal at the end. And, look at Bo Walker, man. He stayed with Georgia the whole time and never flinched. The word Kirby used on Ryan Pugliese. So it's really hard right now to say like an impact so far this spring. I don't think – The word I've learned over the years is, I'll say this. There was a kid that was a five-star or a very highly recruited kid, about 3 years ago. And I'm telling you right now, 2 weeks into the spring, the word I was getting was like, oh, boy, we missed on this one. I'm like, oh, man, this is way too quick. And sure enough, that kid never busted a grape at Georgia. He left, and it is what it is. I haven't heard that at all about anybody. Like, hey, he's got a long way to go, or oh, oof, we missed, or something. You know, I think that, these guys came in ready to compete. These guys came in shape, and when they got there in January, the recruiting dinners with Kirby Smart are over. You start going to work really quick, and the standard's the standard is what Coach Smart said in the interview the other day.
You know, you mentioned that, Rusty, and this is kind of my last thing, but that was the thing that stood out to me when they asked Jordan Hull the other day about Elijah Griffin, is he mm-hmm. said, you know, the recruiting dinners are over. I thought it was so telling that you almost never hear an upperclassman bring up a guy's ranking. And he said, Jordan Hull said something to the effect of, yeah, he was, that guy was a five-star for a reason. You know?
Yeah.
And I said, that's incredibly telling to have a guy, an upperclassman talk about a younger guy and say, hey, look, they got that one right. And I know what they know what being a five-star means. That was right. I thought that just, I don't know. That one really struck me.
Yeah, they know. I know Kirby Smart didn't want that. I know they say that the rankings go out the door, but they know. They know where they are. And Elijah Griffin, probably one of the easiest evals because you knew he was just different. And I've said it to me. This is my opinion. I'm not involved with rankings anymore. I'm retired from that room. Thank goodness. We all are. To me, this is the best defensive lineman to come out of Georgia since Derrick Brown in 2016. And Derrick Brown was a NFL first rounder. He was an all pro, and he was a damn game wrecker at Auburn at Lanier High School. And I think Elijah Griffin is – this kid's always loved Georgia. Georgia offered him in the eighth grade. I will say this, Oregon, Texas, South Carolina, Alabama, everybody in America – came at him, and Georgia didn't get him for a discount. But had he wanted this thing to get into a bidding war, Elijah Griffin could have named his price. No, zero doubt. He could have named his price, and he could have taken whatever amount he wanted, and somebody would have paid it. And when he got to Georgia and committed to them, whatever the deal was there was good enough for him. And I think Elijah Griffin's playing the long game. And God, don't take this as a cheap, because he wasn't cheap. I can promise you that. But if he'd got into a bidding war, he is one of those once every two or three. I think Charles Power told me that he thinks he's the best defensive lineman in the last three cycles.
Yeah,
I forgot who he told me who he thought the best one, but he thinks he's the best defensive lineman in any class in the last three. He's the best one he's seen, and he hasn't done anything to disappoint.
Yeah, Eddie says, Derrick Brown, you got me pumped up, Rusty. Listen, hey, Rusty said it. Charles Power said it. That was the name that was on everybody's lips. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Charles said that, you know, he was testing a little bit better, actually, in terms of just measurable things out of high school than Derrick was at the same time. And that's, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's any slight to Derrick Brown. Everybody knew what Derrick Brown was when Derrick Brown was in high school.
Oh, Lord.
He was one of the first guys I covered, and one of the guys that I will never forget. An absolute dominant force in high school. And
I had to pick him up one time to take him to the Rising Seniors Junior All-Star game, because you know what? His mom and dad worked. His mom said, "Can you get into practice that first day? Because we're sitting." I said, "Sure, I'm coming in." My man got out of the back of about an 86 Ford Taurus, and I knew right then if he could bend to get in out of that car, his friend. That Derrick Brown was a freaking dude. So I take him down there, drop him off, and he's just absolutely just ragdolling kids. I said, good Lord, this guy is unbelievable. Great kid, great person. And Kirby Smart came in late because he just had got the job and tried to get in that, but he was just too – Kirby had only been on the job for a month.
No, he yeah. wasn't. That wasn't even Kirby.
2015? Yeah, I think so. I think he signed.
Right. That was the
yeah.
class.
Kirby, yeah, Nicole yeah. Class. He was in the last month. I tell you this.
And we thought that they actually had a shot there at the end.
For a little bit. They got him on an OV, but I know this. He was committing on ESPN And I got there about an hour early that day, National Signing Day. And I remember him setting his stuff up. He sets his hats up. And his mom looks at him and says, Derek, you take this call. He said, Mom, I'm not talking to them. She said, you're going to take this call. My man walked outside, and he's walking back and forth. I mean, we're about to go on national TV now. Whole place, whole room. And I see him pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth, pacing back and forth. And I see him start rubbing it. You know, he's like doing this. I'm like, well, who is trying to get this kid late? So I walk in there, and his coach goes, I said, hey, who's on the phone? And he goes, Alabama. I said,
Oh, boy.
You're talking about a battle at the end, Alabama and Auburn. I would love to have heard those conversations. But Derrick Brown, great player, great kid, does a great job in Charlotte. He is a good dude. But, you know, this is a Georgia show. But I will say athletically, one of the most dominant defensive linemen ever in the state of Georgia. And I'm telling you, I have no problem with Elijah Griffin saying it, you know, putting his name in that same sentence with him, because I'm telling you, this guy doesn't mean he's going to be day one Derrick Brown, but let's see where he is in year three and see what he can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big expectations, guys. Look, we'll be talking all of spring practice. You know, we'll be back with you later this week. You know, we'll be back next Sunday to talk about that big scrimmage. What's going to be the latest out of that? That'll be interesting. We'll be monitoring this Tuggle and Easley situation moving forward, certainly. We might have to get into some baseball next week too, Rusty. Them Diamond Dogs really starting to turn a corner out here. Wes Johnson throwing down the gauntlet, and they are responding in a big way. The bats have been swinging. Now the arms seem like they're catching up. Really intrigued to see how that one goes for those guys.
I mean, can we test them? I need one of those bats. You know what I mean? Like in the late 90s, I'm playing men's adult softball, and I'm not sure our bats were absolutely legal. You know what I mean? We might have shaved a few every now and then, but sure. Tell you what, man, it's exciting to see those guys.
Absolutely. Guys, look, we'll be back with you later this week. Like I said, get over to Dogs HQ. We're always there, though. Even if you're not catching us here on the YouTube channel, you can catch us over there. We're always hanging out on the message boards, answering your questions, talking about the latest scoop, dropping info on the latest recruiting updates. Got some stuff from our man Steve Wiltfong on Bo Bentley's visit, some momentum building with some other guys after these trips this weekend. So get over, check it all out. We appreciate you tuning in. Shout out to our boys at American Prime Bank, sunheist.com, promo code DOGSHQ20, and our friends at My Perfect Franchise. It's been another edition of The Georgia Show. We'll catch you soon.